Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 till the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate. And my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com, the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Michael Salzman is our guest. Mike is VP for Berman & Company. He's Research Director for Employment Policy Institute, EPI.org. Mike, tell us about EPI.
Yeah, we're a nonprofit. We kind of call ourselves a think tank, but I think we're more than that. We focus on policies that impact the entry-level job market, whether it's scheduling mandates or minimum wages or health care requirements or paid sick leave. You pick it, and we're studying it and talking about it.
Mm-hmm. So speaking of which, can you give us an update on the overtime rules?
You know, so it's not something that we have tracked as closely. I think the thing that has been interesting
is this affects entry workers.
It absolutely does. You know, so there was a hearing in D.C. recently, and it was really telling. It was a hearing about the impact of the overtime law, and so they actually had some small businesses up there before the committee, and then they had one gentleman up there from sort of the union-backed think tank in town to kind of make the case of why this was a good idea.
Let me stop you for 1 second, Mike.
Sure.
And let's remind folks. Now, folks, you've been hearing me talk about this, so but in case you haven't been paying attention or you just tuned in, tell them quickly, Mike, what the overtime rules is all about. It's for salary people. It's a salary issue, right? Salary hourly issue.
That's right. So it basically raises the threshold at which the overtime laws will apply. And so one of the concerns that people have is that you have somebody who was historically, for instance, let's say a shift manager, someone like that, who was, or maybe they were a store manager, assistant manager, who wanted to go above and beyond, who wanted to work more hours doing lots of duties because they
Take
felt like
initiative.
Ownership and responsibility of the location.
Yeah.
This person now who would have used to be salaried may now fall under these overtime rules, where essentially the employer's incentive now is to actually take them back to an hourly position.
Which for them would be like a demotion.
That's right. Now here's the interesting thing, and this gets back to the perspective of the sort of the union think tank here, is that their perspective is people will be working less because of the overtime law, and that's not a bad thing. They'll have more time to, do the arts or spend at home or something. And I think it's completely out of touch with what I think is the American ethic of kind of working hard, of entrepreneurialism.
But it also imposes, injects the government between consenting entities. The employee is willing to work on salary for this company at this rate. The company, this is what the company is willing to pay. They're consenting adults. Nobody's being held hostage. Nobody's a slave. And the government is injecting themselves in and saying, we don't like the way you guys are doing that. Now come back, now that we've laid it out for them, come back to your hearing. You were telling us about the guy at the hearing.
That's right. So he had a line at the hearing where he said, salaried employees need time with their families and time for themselves just as much as hourly workers do. Now, I think that's right. So it's a sentiment that's positive, and, you know, it feels like, well, who could disagree with that? But the rub here is that, you know, historically, especially in the service industry, but in any industry, really, the way people have differentiated themselves over time, the way they've excelled is by being willing and able to put in more time, to put in more effort, to go above and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates a situation where you have an ability to distinguish yourself, and then you can move up.
Some of those people have access to bonuses.
They do, based
on
the
leveraged compensation. It's the way people get ahead is through leveraged compensation. Go ahead.
That's right. So now it's not just a question of threatening those employees, but there was even an article in New York Times about how The overtime plan threatens the what they call the Prada economy. So these are people who are sort of hardworking assistants at, you know, fashion houses that, you know, people, if they've seen the movie The Devil Wears Prada,
right,
sort of are familiar with that. Those are the sorts of positions now that could go away because all of a sudden
the intern. The internships are going away because they're requiring people to pay minimum wage.
That's right. So when all of a sudden overtime applies to all of these salaried employees making less than what the previous threshold was, which was about $47,000 a year, you've got a business model that's kind of under threat. And so it's not employers, I think, taking people. The left kind of views it as employers taking advantage of employees.
Right.
I think the employees viewed it as an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly. And where the employee felt that way, then it should be the employee's right to do that. If they don't feel that way, then they can say, no, put me on hourly, or I'll go get another job. But there's no groundswell of complaints from employees here, are there?
Jim, you're exactly right. You know, it's funny. There was a quote in one of those articles where someone basically said, he said, you know, when you're working a job like this, you want to bump into the boss at 8 o'clock at night. You want to be the guy or the girl that's there late, that's sort of saying, hey, look, I could take your job someday. This overtime
really becomes... government workers not realizing that everybody doesn't want to work like the government worker does, right? They actually want to put in some extra hours.
It's a whole different
mindset.
But I agree.
I will say this, though. I do not think that people should be allowed to put somebody on salary at $26,000 a year and work them 50 hours just so they can get 10 extra hours out of them without paying for them. I don't agree with that. But the law is getting between consenting entities, the employer and the employee, and the government's getting between them. And that's wrong, folks. That's not only wrong, it's un-American. Tintail, right back with Michael Salzman after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.